hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive any of your questions or your comments. Also, a reminder, at some point during the service, if you would grab the hospitality register located in your pew and sign it, pass it along so that we can greet one another by name. Only one announcement this morning. If you ordered tickets to the Red Wings baseball game next weekend, see Gary back at the sound booth, or I imagine he'll be standing out with the punch and cookies following worship, and you can get those at that time. All right, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God. Please stand as you are comfortable and able and join together in the call to worship. This place for us is holy ground,
the place where we sing songs of praise to the Lord,
where we retell the stories of faith,
inspiring us to respond to Christ's love.
God called us here
in whispering winds and in burning flames.
Let us worship the Lord of all, raising our grateful hymn of praise.
Good morning. Please join me in the prayer of confession. God, just as you called Moses so long ago, so you call each one of us to speak and act on your behalf in our world today. Forgive us when we are hesitant to follow, when we question your call or make excuses for our abilities, when we complain about our lack of time or hoard our resources. Give us courage to step out in faith, to follow where you lead without hesitation or fear, trusting that your presence goes with us and that you will provide all that we need. The blazing fire of God's presence refines us, but in mercy it does not destroy us. God does not repay evil for evil, but comes to deliver us and restore us to life. Thanks be to God, our sins are forgiven.
To be humble, to be kind, it is a giving of the peace in your mind. To a stranger, to a friend, to give in such a way that has no end.
We are love, we are one, we are how we treat each other when the day is done. We are peace, we are war, we are how we treat each other and nothing more.
To be bold, to be brave, it is the thinking that the heart can still be saved. And the darkness can come quick, the dangers in the anger and the hanging on to it.
We are love, we are one, we are how we treat each other when the day is done. We are peace, we are war, we are how we treat each other and nothing more. And tell me what it is that you see, a world that's full of endless possibilities, and heroes don't look like they used to. They look like you do. We are love, we are one, we are how we treat each other when the day is done. We are peace, we are war, we are how we treat each other and nothing more. We are how we treat each other and nothing more. We are how we treat each other.
Children forward, and we have a new friend who you will recognize. This is Amy Merica, who's going to share our children's time with us. So if the children would come forward.
The first reading of the word is from Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of his servant Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Then Israel came to Egypt. Jacob lived as an alien in the land of Ham, and the Lord made his people very fruitful and made them stronger than their foes, whose hearts he then turned to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. He sent his servant Moses and Aaron, whom he had chosen. Praise the Lord.
And our second reading for this morning is that familiar story from Exodus. Moses at the burning bush. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He had led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Come no closer, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters, and indeed I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites and the Amorites, the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites have now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, If I come to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your ancestors has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations. You may know the familiar story of Moses from his early years, when God's people, the Israelites, sought refuge across the border in Egypt during a time of famine. And how quickly the Israelite people went from being valued for their strength and their work ethic to being viewed in this foreign land with distrust and dismay. These immigrant people were deemed dangerous and then taken into slavery. Under the threat of a new administration, Israelite children were being killed at birth, thanks to a fast-thinking Hebrew midwife and the resourcefulness of a mother, a sister, and even Pharaoh's own daughter. We have the story of Moses, who was drawn out of the water and given another chance at life. This adoptee seems to have been raised with an acute sense of the plight of his family of origin, though raised by a princess and given every advantage as her son. Moses was tuned in to the brutality being leveled against his people, the Israelites. And he impulsively intervened one day and killed an Egyptian who was beating a Hebrew slave. Because of this action, he himself became a refugee, and he ran into the wilderness, crossing the border to Midian. And there, like other biblical men before him, he came to a well and met his future bride. And this morning, we find him, Moses, born to an oppressed people, raised in the household of royalty, tending to his father-in-law's flock of sheep in yet another foreign land. And who knows what was going through Moses' mind the day he led the flock beyond the wilderness and onto the mountain of God? Was he thinking about all that he had lost? Perhaps the man he had killed? Or was he thinking about his new wife and son? Whatever thoughts he was lost in, it is on the mountain of God where Moses sees the bush blazing and hears the voice, perhaps best recognized by Charlton Heston, some rumors say, calling out, "Moses!" It's the best I can do. But what happens next is where I believe Charlton Heston, yes, and even the good folks at DreamWorks who put out the animated version of this story get it all wrong. Not that they asked me, but I do hope that Christian Bale in the upcoming Exodus, God and Kings movie gets the wardrobe selection correct when God tells Moses to take off his shoes. Because I don't believe that Moses wore flip-flops. Have you ever worn flip-flops on a long walk? How about chasing sheep? Maybe not that, but I'm gonna guess that Moses certainly did not wear flip-flops on the rugged, rocky terrain as he was herding sheep. So imagine with me for a moment, more of a leather contraption tied around his ankles, maybe even laced up the calves. A shoe that Moses has to bend down to untie. Maybe Moses even has to sit down on the ground to remove all those leather straps before he can get them off altogether. The burning bush has caught his attention, but something needs to give Moses a bit of pause, a bit of breathing space, to take all of this in before he hears God tell him that the place where his bare feet now touch the ground is holy. It's very significant. This is the first time in the Bible anything has been called holy. And it would have been very easy for Moses to have reverence, to see this burning bush, or to even hear the voice of God and be overwhelmed by the holiness. But here I believe God is teaching Moses and each of us something about the practice of paying attention. If you'll remember, 2 weeks ago, we began our summer worship series using Barbara Brown Taylor's book, An Altar in the World. And the second chapter is entitled Reverence. And she defines reverence as an awakening. Whatever it is for you that awakens awe in you and reminds you of your true size. So whatever awakens awe in you might be something enormous and powerful and expansive, reminding you how small you are. Something like the night sky, or we drove by Niagara Falls a week ago. It might be a towering mountain. Or perhaps it's a reminder of how large we are in our space. And that awe, that reverence overwhelms you as you see a tiny raindrop suspended on a leaf or a rose petal, or even an ant carrying a crumb 10 times itself, marching, hopefully not across your kitchen. Summer is this amazing time that we all have to slow down, to breathe, to pay attention to the world all around us and help us remember our place in it. Perhaps it's because in summer our world changes a bit as we head out on vacations, venture a bit further from home. Maybe it's because we have more daylight, or we can actually see the earth no longer gripped by ice and snow. But whatever the reason, it is such a great time of year to reconnect to the many ways we practice. It is a practice, paying attention to God's presence in our lives and in the world. And we don't need any special equipment to do this. We don't need to take any additional training or have classes. You don't need a trainer. You know what? I don't even charge a green fee for you all to be out here. So, but God does tell Moses he doesn't even need his shoes. In fact, all he needs are his feet. And the moment Moses' bare feet touch the ground, God says, this place where you are standing is holy ground. So what if we joined Moses on this little experiment in paying attention, pausing to notice what is around us, taking a bit of extra time to remove what separates us from the divine? Paying attention to the world in a whole new way. You don't have to, but if you'd like to, take your shoes off. It's summer, you're not real close to anyone, so you know. Again, you don't have to, but if you'd like to, let the piggies air out a bit. and think about. Would you describe what your feet are now resting on as holy ground? Would it change for you if we were to head out into the grass? The sunshine wouldn't exactly be bouncing off your toes, but maybe they could find their way to a nice puddle. Holy ground. A few weeks ago, I stepped into the rocky creek bed at Stony Brook State Park, where the icy water splashed up to my ankles, and I thought, oh, holy ground. And I love mud. Maybe you prefer sand. The way it feels between your toes. Do you pause for a moment to think, this is holy ground? Imagine for yourself all the places your feet carry you. And what if you took a moment, maybe even a few of them, this summer to remove your shoes and notice the ways you experience the ground they rest on as holy. But don't worry if the whole experience doesn't work for you and all this feet talk is making you extremely uncomfortable. If you aren't feeling it, you aren't feeling it. And that's the thing about holy stuff. You can't make it holy. Holy is something God does. But we can take off our shoes or remove whatever it is that separates us from God and open ourselves to the experiences of holiness. Like Moses, we can take off our shoes and respond with a simple, "Here I am." Of course, we might also tell ourselves, well, I don't have time for all this. And we quickly trade in any complicated footwear for flip-flops or canvas slip-on shoes because we don't even have time to be bothered with the inconvenience of tying shoes. And the practice of paying attention to the holy ground we stand on requires that we stand on it. Or at least sit on it for a moment with our feet resting there instead of just rushing right over. And that makes me wonder how many times Moses himself walked by the exact place in which he now stands and thought to himself, bush, yeah, shrub, nice. Just like how many times have I looked at my own children and not felt the holy hand of God in my life? Just impatience when I walk in after work and trip over piles of discarded shoes and backpacks. How many times have I taken a dip in the lake or the ocean and not felt the touch of eternity all around me because of my preoccupation of the discomfort of appearing publicly in a bathing suit or shorts? How many times have I been in the presence of the holy and simply passed right on by, busy anticipating the next meeting, the next phone call, the grocery list or to-do list? How many times have I forgotten just to take off my shoes and experience the holy ground because I knew I'd just be running off to the next place? I try not to be too hard on myself about such things. I find it a little bit more fruitful to just shift my perspective and to explore with God or a good friend, a community. What are some of the ways in which you pay attention to God and say, "Here I am"? Because not all of us are necessarily going to see a burning bush this summer, at least not one that's going to require a garden hose. And so Barbara Brown Taylor in An Altar in the World writes, the easiest way to practice reverence is to just sit down. Sit down outside, maybe near a body of water, and pay attention. She suggests 20 minutes. She believes that one does not need to take on the whole entire world at first. Take 3 square feet, which you are sitting, and pay really close attention to everything that lives in that small estate. And I also believe we need to remove the barriers keeping us from fully experiencing the holy ground. As you can see, I normally don't have problems taking my shoes off. More often, it's a matter of turning off my cell phone, ignoring the constant list in my brain of what I have to do next. And just be present. Pay attention to the ground beneath my feet. The ground that gives way to potholes and sidewalk cracks. The ground where our children run or crawl or roll around. The ground where our food grows. The ground where the homeless sleep. The ground where we pace back and forth to the printer at work. The ground where our feet first touch in the morning. The ground God calls holy. Amen. We'll try that one again. At this time, I call Carrie Dykes, a member of the Youth Committee, to lead our commissioning of the Junior High Mission Work Project participants.
The summertime is a holy time for our youth here at GPC, hence I have my Bear Piggies represented. I'd like to invite all the junior high work project participants to come forward. Maya Charcola, Bianca Salanto, Ryan Davis, Zachary DeRoche, Melina Endoblovsky, Dana Hart, Zachary Henshin, Rachel Kelly, Tommy Kelly, Kyle Klein, and Jordan McKenty, as well as the advisors, Carol Balsley, Kay Harder, and Beth Molina. You are about to embark on a journey, both a physical journey and a spiritual journey. Your destination will be one that is unfamiliar in many ways. You are going for the purpose of learning about poverty, reaching out to those living in poverty, and sharing God's love with the people you serve. Your travels will take you into the city of Rochester. Do you promise to open your hearts to God's people living in this city, and in so doing, mirror God's love? If so, please say, I do. Youth, will you promise to take responsibility for sharing your gifts and ideas as you work and play together in mutual ministry, to support each other, affirm each other, and be open to God's Spirit working through and among you? If so, please say, I will. Adult leaders, you have accepted the responsibility and call to serve as youth advisors for this trip. Do you promise to be diligent in your ministry, to provide youth an example of Christian discipleship, to have fun with the youth, to work cooperatively with each other, and to be open to God's Spirit working through you and among you? If so, please say, we do. Members of Gates Presbyterian Church, will you keep the junior high mission trip participants in your prayers, praying for spiritual awareness, Christian community, and safety? If so, please say, we will.
We will.
Let us pray. God of all people in all places, embrace this group of young people and adult advisors. May this mission trip be one that opens all participants to the needs of your children in Rochester. May they discover you in the midst of their experiences and uncover amazing ways to be your faithful servants. Amen.
Have fun, you guys. At this time, I invite you all, as you feel called, to share your prayers of joy, also your prayers of concern. The ushers will have microphones. If you'll raise your hand, you can share out loud if you'd like.
Good morning, Keisha Binko. I'd like to ask prayers for a longtime friend of my family when I was growing up. She was a neighbor of ours. Her name is Lorraine Zimmerman, love her too, Lorraine Wilson, and she was, she's in intensive care right now, battling multiple health issues. So prayers for her and her family, thank you.
Prayers for Lorraine.
Oh, I thought I was going to compete with Frona here. This is Mary Hadley, and I'd like to ask for prayers for a colleague that I worked with for a number of years at Bausch, who had breast cancer probably 2 years ago. And that was removed and so forth. And apparently it came back, and she just recently underwent a double mastectomy. So hopefully it's gone for good. But if you could hold her in your prayers, I would appreciate it.
Continued prayers for a former coworker of Mary's.
Hi, Louise Bernhardt here. I just want to catch you up to date on my husband, Don. And it's strange we talked about feet in the sermon this morning because on a completely different tangent, his problem is his foot. Don has diabetes, and a mini lecture for all the people with diabetes here. He wore a boot one day that didn't fit him right, was too stiff, so wear soft shoes. He had a wound develop, which ended up as an infection in the bone in his big toe, which he has had to have removed, hence the rehab. He's learning to walk without this big toe and getting his strength back. And our aim is to get him home as soon as possible. He misses coming to church, one of the things he said.
Thank you.
Continued prayers for Don and that he does make it back here soon.
Joanne Vander, I'd like to ask for prayers for the people in Israel and Palestine. My cousin is there, and Facebook is a wonderful thing to keep track. But yesterday I got a picture. They were having a party, and they all had to go to the bomb shelter. And you could hear the rockets exploding over them. I was very upset. I can imagine what the people, both in Israel and Palestine, their kids are scared too. So please hope and pray that this ends soon.
Continued prayers.
Carrie Dykes, I'd like to ask for continued prayers for Samantha's best friend, Alyssa, who was hit by a car while riding her bike about a week and a half ago. They are starting to take her out of the coma. She is starting to wake up, but there's no indication yet whether there's any permanent damage from that, and she'll still need surgery for some of her injuries. Thank you.
Continued prayers for Alyssa.
Amy Merica, prayers for my father. He's been in and out of the hospital with liver problems. So just prayers. Thank you.
Prayers for Amy's dad.
Bill Horn, I'd like to thank Melissa for all her trips to the hospital while Mary was being taken care of there, and the beautiful service that she had yesterday for her. And I'd like to thank all the people that sent cards and prayers to us. Thank you very much. So.
Continued prayers, Bill, for you and the family.
Christine Cook, I ask prayers for our family as we reach a difficult time of year, remembering my sister's birthday. Just keep us in your prayers. Thanks.
Keeping the Cook Kelly family in prayers. Another prayer requests we have this morning. One comes from Hannah Walker, who is in the hospital at Rochester General with some dehydration issues, hoping to come home today, according to her husband, John. And also, as you read in your bulletin, prayers for Jennifer White Olson, daughter of Debbie and Dennis. Jennifer gave birth on Friday to Everett Andrew and Parker Hayes. The babies were born at 27 weeks and were just over 2 pounds. And this morning, we keep them all in prayer as we learned that Parker indeed did die this morning. So we continue our prayers for Debbie and Dennis, for traveling back to New Jersey today, for Jen and for Ben and little baby Everett and the whole entire family. And also continued prayers for the families of Lynn Smythe, Mary Horn, and Arlene Tandy, who entered the church triumphant this month, a great loss for our church family. May their witness in each of our lives help us to continue to grow in our faith. Our prayer this morning comes from the leaders of our denomination that they posted this week in response to the violence and heartache around the world. And you can also find this prayer on the Presbyterian Church website. Please join with me in a time of prayer. Redeeming God, out of the flames of your creation, your voice calls, marking us as your own. Still, at times, the darkness is like a night, and it feels like you are silent in the midst of our cries. The most vulnerable and innocent among us seem to be hemmed in by violence and conflict. God, we are saddened by the news reports of people taken too soon from this world, and we shake our head with disbelief when we see the bodies of children carrying the ravages of war. It seems as though the only ones in the crosshairs of violence are those with no power, little to gain and much to lose. They pay with the very thing you hold most precious, the very breath you breathed into our lungs. May your spirit of peace and wisdom descend on the Middle East. May the words and actions of Abraham haunt the leaders of Palestine and Israel. May they rescue one another, become great nations, and bless all peoples on earth. God, protect the innocent and send prophets among them and their leaders to find a just resolution. Wars rage on the ground, the sea, and in the air in the Ukraine, Somalia, Syria, Iraq, and so many other places. Families mourn the loss of loved ones and are robbed of hope for a future for their children. Help us see the painful reality that conflict zones cannot be contained. Comfort the grieving and burden the rest of us with this senseless loss of life. Open the way for aid agencies and those offering relief. Give them courage and resources to ease the immediate suffering they encounter. God of foreign lands and foreign people, walk with the children fleeing homes, terrorized by gang violence, crushing poverty and drug wars. We know they carry a singular hope, to have abundant life that you have promised to us. The journey is fraught with danger and uncertainty. Hold them in your arms and nurture the hope planted in them by their families and your spirit. And do not allow it to be crushed by hatred or racism. God, just as you called Moses so long ago, so you call each one of us to speak and act on your behalf in our world today. Grant us the grace and courage to work for all these things. Help turn sadness into righteous anger and action. May we know your ways and beat our weapons of destruction into instruments of reconciliation and creation. It is an honor to be agents of your peace so that this world will know and confess your name. We pray all this in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Indeed, the message of the Bible is that God blesses us over and over again with such great abundance. And it is out of the spirit of abundance we offer back to God a portion of those blessings. Let us celebrate at this moment God's presence in our very lives as we take the morning offering.
We thank you for the awe and wonder of all of your creation. Help us to continue to pay attention and appreciate all you have given us. Please accept these gifts as our thanks for all we have been provided. Amen.
After singing that hymn twice already this week at memorial services, I knew it wouldn't be easy. But what a beautiful reminder that here we are, and God continues to hold each of us, each and every moment in life and in death, in the heart of God. So go from this place surrounded by God's holy ground. Don't forget to take your shoes off from time to time. Experience that grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the courage it takes from the Holy Spirit to get up and do it again each and every morning. Alleluia. Amen.